So there's a global pandemic. A virus is sweeping across our world, still. And society has changed. Why is this happening? What's being done about it? Do you need to get a COVID vaccine for your pet? What the hell happened to the weather in Texas? If you haven't considered these questions yet, you will soon. And we will be here with you. Your guides on this descent into madness. Thank you for joining us on Staring at Goats.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it is goat time. We're here to bring you the latest and greatest in COVID news. I don't know if greatest is the right word to use, but it's certainly a word that we can use, whether it's accurate or not. I'm your host, Steven, joined as always by the nearly comatose and well-deserved so, Jacob, and Travis, our Michigan correspondent. Welcome you both back again to another week in this circus.
I have to point out real quick that I almost pulled a Ron Burgundy, and my notes were still for last week. So we nearly talked about another 81-person French orgy.
So
I was able to, I caught it on the fly. I somehow managed to read like four words ahead. No, that's not what I want to read at all.
Well, I mean, the 81-person French orgies are pretty common, so it's not like
that's true.
It didn't happen again.
I'm not sure that I understand how common they are. Steven, let the audience know how common 81-person floor of French orgies are.
Well, it's important to define French. Do we mean French Canadian? Do we mean French as in the country? Do we mean simply French people all over the world gathered together in various locations to have sex with one another? And I mean, really, if you think about it, there's probably about one or two per 7 minutes, based on my research. Every 7 minutes, there's an 8 minutes or an 81 person French orgy occurring somewhere.
Does it have to be 81 person?
Generally, yes. I'd say the statistics call for that to be consistent. If we're going to use what I'm going for here. Now, it's possible that a straggler comes in to even the odds and it's 82. I certainly doubt that we see an 80-person French orgy. That's just...
Doubt, yeah.
Not likely. I mean, if you're going to just get 80 people, why bother? You know, that's what I mean. Like, what's the point?
What are you doing? What are you doing with yourself?
Yeah, is it even an orgy 80. At that point? Come on. Seriously.
80 people. Now, do they all have to be French, or just one person out of the 81 can be French to make it a French orgy?
Right. They all have to be French, though that definition can vary. There are some French Creole... that get involved. There are some people who simply claim French heritage. One or two, one or two generations.
Or like French speaking, because there are only a French speaking countries.
French tongue.
Yeah.
They have a French tongue.
Speaking French is not a requirement, though it is frowned upon to use non-French during the orgy. Yeah.
It seems as though you've done a lot of research on this, so I appreciate
a lot
of
time
your service
on the topic. Thank you. sacrifices I make.
I don't want to dive any deeper into this French orgy, because next thing you know, he's going to try to describe what's happening during a French orgy, and I'm just going to have to cut him off.
Travis, that'd
be wildly inappropriate.
Travis, your hair looks glorious, by the way. That purple has kind of faded a little bit, and just absolutely, it shines. It makes every one of us just look awful in comparison.
I am actually really surprised at 2 weeks later how this still looks. I thought it was going to fade a lot more than this, so I'm happy. I'm going to be touching it up soon, though.
Are you going to blend? Are you going to go rainbow bright and like blend some colors in there?
I still have some blue that I think won't look too bad. I'll probably blend a little bit of that in. Get some blue chunks or streaks.
Yeah, if you are a listener to the show and you listen in podcast form, you're truly missing Travis's hair, and you should venture back to our YouTube channel at twodorks.net/YouTube and watch the show in that manner. Because not only do you get Travis, but you get goats in the background. Travis has made it so that we can watch actual goats. We can stare at goats while staring at goats. As exhibit would have it.
Yep.
Yo, dog, I put goats in your goats. So you can stare at goats while you stare at goats.
Love Do you know that's become a thing, by the way? There's a farm in London, or just outside of London, I think, that actually rents goats and for Zoom calls, to make Zoom calls a little more entertaining for people. And I feel like Landon missed just a perfect business opportunity, and he needs to get on that before those Brits corner the market.
Absolutely.
Your Honor, I am not a goat. I promise I'm a person.
Yes, you're right. Landon completely had an opportunity, but no, he lets a lady down the street rent his goat so she can breed them for her own goat farm, and he's missing out on an incredibly lucrative opportunity.
Yep, lucrative.
Not only that, he could be on the Twitch stream behind Travis because,
good.
I mean, that's what he was doing. We were watching his goats from time to time. Now he can still be on the show, but no. He's like,
use that really
hard.
Nice camera of his for something.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Put that microphone, hang it from the ceiling.
We can get some real goat sounds going on.
I know.
You know,
I don't
he
understand.
Would, you know, he would walk right up to that camera while you're doing the show and just flip it off. Or make out with it, or something inappropriate while we're live. You know, that's the kind of person.
I mean, there's a non-zero chance dude's going to come up to this one and like take his headphones off and do this.
Yeah, that's true.
So you know, it's bound to happen.
Yeah, non-zero is my favorite way of putting something because it means that I don't really know that it's what percentage it is, but I know it's not zero, and that's really a good way to put it. If not zero, success. So anyway, guys, we're at episode 46 of Staring at Goats. That's like week 47, week 48. We're getting real darn close to having spent a year on microphones talking about a pandemic that was supposed to be gone by Easter. So, you know, maybe this Easter we'll hit it. It came to my attention earlier that it's February. The end of February was the last time I took a trip anywhere. Went to Disney World. Got to see my parents a year ago in Orlando for dinner. That was the extent of it. And came back to the world falling apart. Jacob, you traveled shortly after I did in empty airports.
Empty airports.
So, yeah, we'll have to find a way to commemorate the year of staring at goats and kind of take a walk back through memory lane. But for now, we're only going to walk back about a week. Jacob, I'm going to start with you because you have the most... You have the lack of detail in the notes that's worth me hearing what you got going on.
This week sucked.
Yeah.
It was a tough week. Work is just absolutely kicking my butt. I'm falling behind daily. My child is going through this never-ending leap and is just an absolutely crazy man right now. I love him. I mean, I think he's great. But this leap has really been a tough one. My in-laws, they're stir-crazy and they're in need of help. My house is an absolute disaster zone. I'm surrounded by half-finished projects. I feel like I'm behind in every facet of my life. My wife has totally lost it. Like, totally lost it. We were on a walk tonight, and there was a car that just blew right through a stop sign. And she just starts yelling at the top of her lungs and chasing after this guy who just blew through a stop sign and telling him what an awful POS he was. And it's just, I feel like people are checking out, and COVID has kind of exacerbated everything, and it's tough to see a light at the end of the tunnel right now, and I just feel absolutely exhausted. So yeah, this week has been a rough one. And then of course, you know, COVID exaggerates things in your own life, but it also, I feel like it shed a light on a lot of humanity's failings. Texas is having a real tough time right now. And there's a lot of places in the middle of the country that are having a real tough time right now. And, you know, there are people without power. There's people without food. There's cold weather in places that don't normally get cold weather. And so you've got people going hungry and people struggling and price gouging. And it's just humanity's failings right now. And, you know, people are getting on the Twitterverse and just poking fun at them and making tit for tat comments about how, you know, Ted Cruz, you should concentrate on your own state rather than going after California for having power outages. And, you know, it's just, it's, we're becoming almost unrecognizable as a society. And I feel like that sucks too. And this has been a struggle of a week, just around what's happening in our country, and then of course the micro environment in my own life. It's just a struggle this week. So yeah, that's about the detail I can give you. This week just sucks.
And sometimes it's all the detail that exists. Is sometimes yeah. Things just suck because they suck, because that's where you get, and that's the hard part. And it seems like February, I've been reading other things and being on Reddit and places in some of the smaller not psycho communities talking about stuff. And a lot of people are in similar positions in that the funk just shows up sometime early to mid-February and just sits. And it's like, I'm just going to step on your testicles right here. So how's this feel? Good? Hope it feels good. Cause I'm not leaving anytime soon. I'm big old 40-pound weight right on your nads,
and right on your nuts.
It would be nice to not have that. And, I really see your point with the whole, unrecognizable humanity. Everything I saw, like, related to the Texas power outages and stuff, which are, hey, our hearts go out to those in Texas who are suffering under that, by the way. It's really, it's tough to watch and see people I personally care about that I know live in it that are struggling. And definitely there's not a whole lot we can do from way over here on our stupid podcast other than wish you the best. But yeah, like that whole situation, I'm reminded of Apollo 13, one of my favorite movies in the world, which, and you know, Houston is in that. But the leader dude of the mission, Gene, whatever his last name was, he says, let's work the problem, gentlemen. And honestly, that feels like what someone needs to do in the whole scenario is quit poking at who did what and just go, let's work the problem, gentlemen, yeah. You know, and ladies in this instance. But like, just get to business. Stop worrying about who said what and when's this happening, how's it happening. And I have no doubt there are engineers down in the weeds working the problem. But it's real hard to get that feeling when you see everyone else involved going, well, it's his fault, and it's his fault, and it's her fault, and they did this. And if they'd have done this before, we wouldn't be in this situation. It's like, well, we're in the situation. Work the problem. Yeah. And then come up with some action items afterwards. Let's get it done. And then, you know, loop back around. I worked for government, though. I know how looping back around works. Let's put in this fix. It'll be temporary. And then 2 years later, you're like, how's that temporary fix holding up? Eh. It's still there. Jim knows how it works, but that's about it.
I've taken my bubblegum out and patched it. No, you bring up Apollo 13, and I don't want to be all downer because I feel like my intro was all downer.
You're fine.
I'll bring everybody back up a little bit with Apollo 13 tomorrow at around noon, a little after noon. I think it's going to be about 12:45 or 12:50. The next Mars rover is landing. Perseverance is freaking landing on Mars tomorrow at 12:45. Y'all better tune in. It's going to be fantastic. I'm so pumped about it. I'm excited that these things are happening, and that's something to look forward to and just be a part of such a scientific achievement, even though, you know, it's going to be fantastic. I'm super stoked about it.
What is it about space that gives us hope? Like the traveling,
it's something bigger than us, right? It's bigger. It's bigger than our humanity, right? It's all of us together collectively exploring something brand new.
Yeah.
There's nothing better, right? I don't know. I guess hope is the best way to put it.
There's an inspiration to it. Like when SpaceX shot their rockets into space and they landed again, that will never not be amazing to me. Every time it happens, it's mind blowing that occurs. And I think, and I think you're right. It's just something collectively as humans, we can go, look what we can do. We can go to flipping space. We can land on Mars. And then, you know, sit there and think about, I wonder if I could buy a plot of land on Mars. They might not make more land on Earth, but there's lots of land up there.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Well, I hope the sun starts shining on you a little bit, Jacob, and you find a way through it, because you sound like you're in that position of convincing yourself if you don't keep moving forward, though, two choices, right? Move forward or die. Fall over, die, or you keep waking up tomorrow. That's where Steph and I got there. I remember that. Mm. Sitting on the steps with Sam crying in a room going, are we going to make it or are we going to die today? What's our choice? And it sucks. Yeah. It's not a good place to be. I 100% feel for you. On a much, much more intimate level. I use the word intimate when referring to Jacob. Ooh. I hope everybody got that. Because I love him to the moon and back.
Hold on, wait. He's talked about 81% orgies and getting intimate. So
I'm feeling the groove, y'all.
He is. Yeah. Watch out. Yeah. Mount chicka wow wow.
I'm putting some Barry White up in this. let's get going. Travis, how you doing?
Well, I mean, better, I guess. Look, February is possibly the worst month of the year, not just because there's 28 days and it throws off the whole, you know, how do you remember how many days are in what month rhyme, but it is like the middle of winter, right? Winter doesn't really start until the end of December. And even then it's like, oh, it's a little bit of snow, but it's festive and we like it. And January comes around and it's a new year and everything's great. And then February hits, you haven't seen the sun in 3 months and you're just looking outside and it's just gray. Everything is gray. And you feel like there is no end in sight. And that's in a good year. That's in a normal year. This ain't that. So it's a really tough time of year. But I'm personally doing, fairly okay work. Work has slowed down enough to where I feel like I'm treading water instead of actively drowning. Even when they're piling more things on. I got a little more. I am now a backup for somebody, so I have a bunch of hardware here that I have to manage, which is, you know, what I used to do prior for this company. So that's kind of nice. But I think overall, you know, it's not too bad. I just, for me, the toughest thing the last week has been watching the middle of the country freeze. And I saw it described today as a weather pattern coined the 7-Eleven microwave burrito. Because it was warm on either side and frozen in the middle. And you've got temperatures that are like just stupid numbers below zero in the plains. And then you hit Texas and they're getting not just a dusting of snow. Like I've always joked, you know, oh, nobody in the South can deal with snow. And it's true because you don't have the infrastructure for it. But when you start getting a foot of snow in a place like Texas, where they don't have the infrastructure and they don't have anything that can deal with it, like that's really tough to see. And then at first the snark I get, right? You know, I'm from a place that has winter for 9 months out of the year. So when someone else is getting winter, sure, there's a little Schadenfreude in me that's like, hey, hey, now you get to know what I feel all the time. That lasted about 10 minutes. And then I'm like, oh, no, this is serious stuff. They like shutting down the state is a real thing. So yeah, I just feel for like that. That's been the biggest thing for me lately is feeling like I can't do anything about it. So what I want to try and do is at least stay as positive as possible and like as helpful. And cause you know, I put on Twitter today. I just told people don't be a dick. Cause it really doesn't, it doesn't benefit anyone.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't know. It's,
you know, that's a wonderful statement because negativity all around, really all it does is it's just bringing people down in a time where we don't need anything else to bring us down at this point. So stay positive relative to those kind of things. And I feel like it might help out a little bit more.
Yeah. Now on a fun note, I saw a picture of in Scotland, apparently they name their snowplows and their dirt salt trucks. And so I saw a satellite photo. They have GPS on them and you can track them around the country. And so they had
that's fantastic.
What were some of the names? It was Mary Queen of Salt was one of the salt trucks. There was one of the sand trucks was Gritty Gritty Bang Bang.
Yeah.
Oh, that's that beautiful.
That was great. That gave me a nice chuckle today.
Those are really fun. I saw the same picture. I think it's circulating.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good sentiment though. Like Twitter's a painful echo chamber of just absolute bull crap, but it can be a positive force if you use it that way. Travis, mm-hmm. not to, you know, be all, circle jerky around here. But you do a really great, that's not really even, this isn't a circle, I don't even know what I'm talking. What I'm trying to say is Travis does a fantastic job of being positive on Twitter. But I didn't want you, I don't want you to think I'm blowing smoke just because you're here. But you do a really good job of being a really positive force. Because I get your Monday morning tweets, your whole be cool to everybody tweets. They mean a lot.
You know, I've put a lot of work into Twitter, into making it something that I want to be a part of. And keeping it positive. And even when I'm having a discussion with somebody or I'm disagreeing with somebody, I try to do so in a way that is positive and keeps a conversational flow going, as opposed to just, you're an idiot. You know, here's my hot take. Like, that doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
That doesn't help anything. So.
Yeah. What good is it? I like that a lot. Well, thank you. Thank you, Travis, for that. I'm coming out of a funk. Last week was just an absolute dumpster fire of a week for me. And I don't know. I think it's not anything in particular. I guess one of the things is we got word that from our assessment we put Sam in that he's likely going to, well, he is going to repeat kindergarten, which we struggled with as from an emotional gut check kind of perspective. Mm-hmm. Like you expect your six-year-old, first grade, six-year-old. That's the way I did it. That's the way mom did it. That's the way it's done. But really, kindergarten, as I've come to find out, isn't a grade necessarily. It's a test drive. It's to put you into the car and see, hey, you got this? Maybe you need to take a few more laps. Maybe you need to do this again, see if it resonates next time. And so I've come to the decision it's the right idea. I've come for a couple reasons. One of those is we're doing really well in some things. We're not doing really well in other things. And that's good and all. That's fine. But more importantly, it's the experience of learning those little things that school is about in that class. Mm-hmm. Like kindergarten, a lot of that's kind of social behavioral stuff they work on, like raise your hand, how to get in line. Could you imagine walking into school never having done that before and all the other kids know how to do it? How inferior you might feel. Like, oh, shoot, what is all this? Yeah. This is new. Whereas when you're in kindergarten, it's all, you know, brand new. It's all everybody's learning at the same time. So, like, as I come around to it, I'm more comfortable with it. Not only that, I've met and talked to a lot of people through this that our kids are in higher grades than that and are being kept back because the learning situation has been just absolute terrible for the past year. Like this year, there are kids in high school that are like, I don't know what I learned, if I learned anything. And they're curious if it's worth going forward or am I going to go forward? Am I going to keep up? What's going to happen? You know? But I think that was kind of a rough go. Stephanie struggled with it a lot more than I did. I kind of came around to it a little bit faster. But then it was just kind of like Jacob, like you were talking about. You're trapped inside of your kids and you kind of want to eat them. You love them, but you also kind of want to throw them out the window. There's that 90 mile per hour mode that Sam has been in for the last week that I'm just like, from the minute I open my eyes, daddy, 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 daddy. Oh my gosh, I'm going to explode. So you just, it's that desire for escape to something, somewhere, anything, anywhere that you kind of need or want at the very least. And that's a struggle. So anyway, all that kind of going on last week and the rain hadn't helped. I am a Superman kind of person. The sun energizes me and dictates my mood almost like 80%. 80% is the weather outside. So the sun comes out. I'm like, oh, snap. I turned around yesterday while working. I was like, that's the sun. That is Earth's yellow sun. And I went to the window and I was like, yes, fill me with power. And I did better. I worked better yesterday than I've worked in a week. And today the trend continued. I've felt better today, despite waking up twice last night for work stuff. I've also learned that I can sleep through the night and wake up early, but if I get interrupted sleep, I am a non-functioning human being. If I go to bed at 11 and sleep to 6 straight through, I can wake up. If I get woke up at 2, 4, whatever time, disaster. My eyes feel like sandpaper and I think I'm going to die. So that was a good revelation. I came to, nothing I can do about it, like nothing. But at least I have it. I know now. So you know it.
And that's a big part.
That's half the battle, you might say. G.I. Joe. But anyway, that's where I'm at. I'm feeling like I'm coming out of the funk. But yeah, again, with the Texas thing, you're coming out of the funk while everyone else is getting stuck in the funk. And I'm like, the poor funk people are stuck in the, like, looking at Lisa from our friend at I Love That Movie. She just got power back today, thankfully. Brian Brushwood of our Diamond Club friends, he doesn't have water. He doesn't have water. That is not a thing you can be without for long periods of time. Like, your best bet then is just go drinking out of the tank on your toilet, and that ain't great, you know? Nope. But what do you do, man? Empty your water heater? You got some options, but they're not great options.
Not many.
Yeah, once you run out, you're like, what do I do? So that kind of stuff weighs on me, too. I'm like, I'm over here celebrating. I've got power. The sun is out. You'd be Skippy. And I know you can't, like, equate your life to everybody else's life all the time because that's unreasonable. I'm taking the hit. Like, I'm enjoying what I've got now. And if anything, let's try to use it to amplify, like, I've done fine through COVID and everything. Where everybody's been healthy, we're all good. But yeah, seems like we're all in different funky February crap. I once heard it said in general in life, you're either going into a storm, you're sitting in one, or you're coming out the other side. And I think that's just kind of how that roller coaster works. You go in and you look back and you go, whew, that really sucked. Glad we're through that. Then you walk in, you trip on your nuts and you fall into another one. You're like, daggone it.
Yeah.
Here we are. But hey, at least
you've got... The circle continues.
Yeah. Then that's what life is. It's a series of unfortunate events. That's a great title for something. I should keep that.
You should write that down. Use that for, your next, either, I don't know, book.
Yeah, I could write a book, make up a character like Snimmity Lickit.
Snimmity Lickit.
Yeah, totally not been taken before. I could definitely do that.
Not at all. Nope.
Thanks, guys. I look forward to publishing this book after I write 50,000 words. Anyway,
You could be like Kevin J. Anderson, and what did he write, a 200,000 word epic fantasy novel? Yeah, that's a lot of words.
That's too many words.
That's a lot of words.
What do you need that many words for? Come on.
That's a lot of words.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
A lot of words.
I mean, I did read The Stand, so.
That's a lot of words, too.
I read that before COVID. Whoopee. like a month before COVID, I finished The Stand. Like, this is such a crazy thing. Wow. Yeah. Anyway, guys, let's get on to our isolation report. Let's give some people some news. There is not enough testing in the world to keep you safe out there in the world. If you're thinking to yourself, man, I can't wait to attend that company picnic. They said we could all just get tested, and as long as we're clear, we'll show up. Well, I have news for you. It doesn't work. So a fellow by the name of Peter Diamond Dave, Diamond Pete. Whatever you want to call
it. Diamond Dallas Page.
Diamond Dallas Page. DDP, baby, the diamond cutter. I know where you're coming from. Woo! That's right. Got it, baby. DDP. My cousin met that guy. He said he was pretty nice. Auburn football game for some reason. Anyway. I'm going to win the football game. I need to put that on a sound clip somewhere. But anyway, Peter Diamandis. It sounds like a movie villain. He was one of the people in charge of some tech conference, the AOC 36 or something. You can read the article. Anyway, the basic gist of it is he wrote this blog post about how he thought he could be safe and put on this small event and invite a handful of people. It's going to be all virtual. People complained, said, we want to come in person. We want to do it. He said, okay, well, let's figure this out. Maybe we can have 10% attendance, make sure everybody's spaced out, make sure everybody's tested. So they did a handful of things to try to make this event safe. Everybody was tested 72 hours before the event. Every test had to be returned negative. They did. They were. Testing the day of the event, they used rapid test kits throughout the event. So they did a test on every person every day. The first day the event started, there was one person who tested positive with their rapid testing kit. They were not admitted or sent out, cannot come to the event. Everyone else was tested again every morning. In total, the members of the conference were tested five times. Each person tested five times throughout the event. Over 450 tests were performed in total. Masks were required most of the time, but not 100% of the time while in the studio.
Again, I'm assuming eating times or drinking times or something like that.
Yeah, you're wandering around, meet and greet. You've been tested, right? You've been surely this seems reasonable. This became one of his biggest regrets, by the way. And they had medical oversights. Four physicians were on staff at the event to help maintain COVID regulations, make sure everybody was spaced out properly. And they were like sheriffs. We're going to do this. We're going to do it right. As you know, in that conference in, what was it, July of this year, Jacob, 300,000 mm-hmm. cases tracked back to that?
No. 330,000. That was back in March. Yeah, it was Biogen conference.
Right, the Biogen mm-hmm. conference. So let's try to avoid that. Let's get our sheriffs in here. Well, this is kind of what happened. They're members of the A360, which I guess is this group. 30 members of these, on average, results for who wore masks. These people wore masks are striking. So 30 members. Of these, 12 members contracted COVID. They had 9 faculty attended in person. Of these, 4 faculty contracted COVID. In the staff of the conference, 10 staff support the production in person. Of these, 5 staff contracted COVID. The audiovisual team didn't have any COVID. They wore masks all the time. The audiovisual team constantly. So there was basically coming across the point that the point is there's a lot of COVID being thrown around, even in places where they were tested frequently to try to make sure they didn't have it. And that's just an example that you shouldn't throw a conference. That's what I'm trying to get at. That's what this story was about. So, cancel the thing that you're trying to do. And if you're going to do a thing, 100% masks 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm. Seems to be true. Well, this reminds me of the story we did last year. Wasn't there like a swingers conference or something that was put together and, you know, one or two people tested positive and next thing you know, it kind of exploded out.
Yeah. And they weren't using glory holes like they were supposed to, you know?
Yeah. I don't remember about the glory holes.
Well, you missed all the important details. Come on.
The last night was a big rumpus.
That's good stuff.
Just a ball of knees and elbows.
Yeah, that's gross. Directions.
I don't want anybody touching me like that.
No, let's not touch that. Here, this is something that I feel like we really need to chat about. The UK approves a first-of-a-kind study to purposefully infect young people with COVID. The UK has approved a first-of-a-kind study that will expose young and healthy volunteers to COVID-19 as a part of efforts to further understand the virus, the government has announced. Due to begin in the next few weeks, the study will recruit up to 90 carefully selected patients between the ages of 18 and 30 who are at the lowest risk of complications for coronavirus and expose them to the pathogen in a safe and controlled environment. The researchers will initially use the coronavirus that was last introduced in the UK in March of 2020. So they're not going to use any of the variants that are shown up. After exposure, the volunteers will be closely monitored by medics, the scientists for 24 hours a day through the study. They'll be kept in quarantine for a minimum of 17 days and allowed to return home after this period once they no longer have been deemed infectious. It is hoped that the research, which has received £33 million government funding, will help doctors further understand how the immune system reacts to COVID, to try to identify factors that influence how the virus is transmitted and to help aid the development of treatments and vaccines. Known as the Human Challenge Study, this is the first phase of research, aims to establish the smallest amount of virus needed to cause an infection. So those are their main goals, looking for how much virus is required to create an infection, and then look for factors that aid in transmission and treatments and vaccines.
Is this kind of stuff normal?
No.
No. Yeah, it seems like it's on that is this ethical kind of?
Oh yeah, this zone? Is this. This yeah. borders that ethical limit here, because this is talking mm-hmm. about purposely infecting people. And, you know, especially with the death rate that it has, sure, majority of the deaths occur in older people. But that doesn't mean that no deaths happen between the ages of 18 and what was the other 18 and 30.
Yeah,
it is a, like Travis mentioned, it is a non-zero chance that people will potentially die during this study.
Yeah, mm-hmm. or have lifelong complications from it, as we'll see in just a minute. But yeah, that kind of thing, you can't predict that. And it's, I guess, I mean, people are taking, if they're going to sign all the waivers, but the problem is if they walk out of there and they don't play by the rules, wander down to the pub. I mean, are they keeping them locked in?
Yeah, they're keeping them locked in.
Oh, good.
I mean, I've been part of studies where we've had people that stayed on site for the duration of the study. So that's not new. The first of the kind is purposely infecting people with a pathogen of this kind. And it, in my mind, it crosses some ethical boundaries that, you know, you could take a healthy individual and you could change their life forever knowingly. And crosses the line for me. So I feel like as scientists, as doctors, as researchers, this shouldn't happen, but in the UK, well, go there if you want to get COVID and get tested on.
You have the do no harm policy, right? As a doctor, and this is most certainly harm.
Oh yeah, the Hippocratic Oath is going to be violated by several doctors who are going to be PIs for the study. So
that's interesting.
Arguably, they're going to say, "Oh no! I mean, we're going to be watching them, and potentially we're going to be treating them, and blah 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 blah." But
yeah, it's still on shaky ground there.
Yeah, let's say this person develops blood clots in 10 years because of long-term complications, or has decreased lung capacity for the rest of his life because of COVID, and you purposely gave him that in the study. And yes, he gave his body for human research, but usually you do that when you're dead, not when you're alive.
And if you come back and fight and go, "Well, I've got shortness of breath," they're like, "Well, can you prove that it occurred because of the study?"
Oh, yeah. They're definitely going to hedge their bets here. The informed consent is going to have to be bulletproof here. They're going to have to really make sure that they're not going to be held liable for any kind of long-term issues. And I mean, because it could get really ugly if something does happen.
Yeah. We could learn a lot, but is the juice worth the squeeze, as they say?
Juice worth the squeeze? That was nice, Stephen.
Thank you. I've been doing this for a while.
And you just made that up too, I'm sure. Right, yeah, on
totally
the fly.
Didn't steal that from anyone, anywhere.
No, of course
not from a movie starring Emil Hirsch back in the early 2000s. Did not happen. Pardon. Travis is going to die first. Then he's going to tell us about COVID. All right, go.
So
every time you cough, you have to go, "Not COVID."
It's not COVID.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. COVID-linked syndrome in children is increasing and growing more severe. So 15-year-old Braden Wilson was frightened of COVID-19. He was careful to wear masks and only left his house in Simi Valley, California, for things like orthodontist checkups and visits to his grandparents nearby. But somehow the virus found Braden. It wreaked ruthless damage in the form of an inflammatory syndrome that, for unknown reasons, strikes some young people, usually several weeks after infection by the coronavirus. Doctors at Children's Hospital Los Angeles put the teenager on a ventilator and a heart-lung bypass machine, but they could not stop his major organs from failing. And on January 5th, they officially said he was brain dead, his mother, Amanda Wilson, recounted, sobbing, "My boy was gone." Doctors across the country have been seeing a striking increase in the number of young people with the condition that Braden had, which is called multi-symptom inflammatory syndrome in children, or MIS-C. Even more worrisome, they say, is that more patients are now very sick than during the first wave of cases, which alarmed doctors and parents around the world last spring. The condition remains rare. The latest numbers from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention show 2,060 cases in 48 states, Puerto Rico, and the District of Columbia, including 30 deaths. The median age was 9, but infants to 20-year-olds have been affected. The data, which is complete only through mid-December, shows that the rate of cases has been increasing since mid-October. While most young people, even those who become seriously ill, have survived and gone home in relatively healthy condition, doctors are uncertain whether they will experience any lingering heart issues or other problems. We really don't know what will happen in the long term, said Dr. Gene Ballweg, medical director for the pediatric heart transplant and advanced heart failure at Children's Hospital and Medical Center in Omaha, Nebraska, where from April through October, the hospital treated about two cases a month, about 30% of them in the ICU. That rose to 10 cases in December and 12 in January, with 60% needing ICU care, most requiring ventilators. Clearly, they seem to be more sick, she said. That's just, they seem to not really know why. It's mostly in young people, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems to be rough. The problem. Further in the article, it also discusses the ethnic slant of it. Seems to be affecting minority communities more, which they also don't know necessarily why. That just seems to be the statistics coming in is showing minority communities being affected. And I think we've seen that in adults in COVID as well. And again, not some of it was cultural. I think early on they were like Latin communities tend to be closer together and have larger families in those spaces. I don't know if that's still the narrative line for that. But yeah, either way, this is tragic, and it just shows more we don't understand. It's more proof that it's a new disease. We've been studying it for less than a year. With the aggressive testing and look and observation that we have. I guess you probably could say we've been studying it since December of 2019, maybe earlier. Who knows? But it seems like really.
I mean, we haven't really been studying it until it became kind of more of a global problem. I mean, when you first identify it, you're like, "Huh, what's that?"
Yeah.
Hold on, wait. What is that? Oh shit, what is that? I mean, that's
a good reaction, yeah.
That's kind of how the progression happens, but then you start going, okay, let's dig into the details and try to figure out, start studying it and understand what's going on. So I would say we're probably at 8 or 9 months in right now, maybe 10 months of truly studying it.
Yeah.
And there's so much we don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, we're gonna start doing tests. I think is it the AstraZeneca one they're gonna start testing on children as young as six.
There's a whole bunch of studies going on in kids.
Yeah.
I think Pfizer's got a study going on in kids. They've enrolled 2,500 kids. I think AstraZeneca's enrolled some studies, some kids in their studies. I know J&J has as well.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look at exactly who it. I don't know. Has Moderna?
I don't know. I think just the idea that hopefully they're getting there to where we'll start getting some of that data and we can understand better what kind of testing or what kind of vaccines we can use for our kids, because our kids are as susceptible as us. Yes, they do not get as severely sick in most cases, but it's still a possibility. It still exists. There's that concern for children one way or the other. I think we're fortunate to at least be able to say most cases in children do not cause severe in illness. But I don't know. This is me kind of thinking out loud. But like, is that any different than the adults? Most cases don't have severe illness in adults. But most, is that greater than 50%? What are we talking about most? What's the value?
And define severe illness. I mean, are you talking about like acute illness, or are you talking about having blood clots for the rest of their lives, or not being able to use the 100% of their lung capacity for the rest of their lives, or having other issues?
Sure.
What exactly are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, don't ask what you mean the royal you, because I don't know what I'm talking
about. The royal you, not you. Moderna.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say Moderna has trials from 12 to 17-year-olds, and that started earlier this year.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this year. Pfizer, I know, has studies going on. Let me see if I can't pull this real quick.
Well, while you're pulling that, I can talk about some studies from Pfizer and Moderna, and we can loop back. Looks like a lab study suggests that Pfizer and Moderna's vaccine works against the new variants. I should say Pfizer BioNTech, because I've been thinking about BioNTech. They're partnered with Pfizer, yet Pfizer's the well-known brand, and Pfizer's the first one in the line, so we all shortened it to Pfizer. And that's unfair to BioNTech, who partnered with Pfizer with their mRNA tech, to create the vaccine. So if anybody needs a little bit more push, it's BioNTech for, like, having the technology that Pfizer has adopted. So anyway, that's just me on a soapbox. A new report published in the New England Journal of Medicine on Wednesday suggests that Pfizer BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine can protect people against concerning new coronavirus variants, including one first seen in South Africa called B1351. For the study, researchers at Pfizer and the University of Texas Medical Branch genetically engineered versions of the virus to carry some of the mutations found in B1351. They tested them against blood samples taken from 15 people who had received two doses of the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine as part of a clinical trial. While the blood serum samples produced less neutralizing antibody activity, it was still enough to neutralize the virus. They wrote in a letter to the journal. This is in line with other studies, and it's well within what is seen with other viruses, one of the researchers said. The gist is that both Moderna and Pfizer have been tested against it, and though they did see less of a response, they did see enough of a response to call it a success and call the vaccines effective. But they're continuing to invest in research against these new strains to try to figure out what, if anything, they can do to increase effectiveness in these strains of the virus. What'd you find out, Jacob?
Okay, Moderna is 12 to 17 years old, and they start at the beginning of the year. Pfizer is 12 to 17 years old, and they are fully enrolled already. Johnson & Johnson, they are 12 to 18 years old, and they are not fully enrolled, but they started earlier this year. Oxford AstraZeneca is from 6 to 17, it looks like. And Novavax is the one that I'm interested in. It doesn't give a timeline on that.
Okay. But they all have basically juvenile tests going on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that fares well. Hopefully we'll know something, you know, before the fall would be good. I don't know if you nice. Will.
I mean, it sounds like we're going to get some information from Pfizer and BioNTech pretty quickly because they've already completed their enrollment. So to me, that means that we're probably 60 days out from at least having a pretty good understanding of what's going to happen there. So yeah, maybe summer we'll get an announcement for 12 to 17 year olds, but anybody younger than 12, that's not going to help that case at all. So yeah. We're talking about middle schoolers and up.
But you're still talking about more opportunity for more people to get vaccines in a population to hopefully reduce that transmission. I mean, if people can't, but then again, you got the people that are vaccinated but still can shed it because you get it. Your body's just actively fighting it better than other people's bodies. So you're like, still infecting other people with the virus, even though you're not getting it. The ultimate sign of selfishness. Get a vaccine and then don't wear a mask like a butthole. Like, I'm fine. I don't think I need to worry about nothing.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, it's making sure that the public knows that vaccine is still important, y'all. She's still important. Care for Maxine. Masks and vaccine is really difficult to put together, and now Maxine is a fictionalized version of that.
Yes, so Maxine.
Thanks, Maxine.
Well, we have a name for her anyway.
Yeah, at least we care. Jacob, what's up in South Korea?
Oh, it's my turn next. South Korea will offer COVID-19 tests for your lovely, wonderful furry animals, your pets and cats and dogs. Pet cats and dogs in the capital city of South Korea will be tested for COVID-19 for free if they come into contact with infectious humans and show symptoms. In an online briefing, Seoul official Park Yu-mi said that pets found infected with the virus must be quarantined at their home for a city or a city-run facility for 14 days. The announcement comes after a cat in the southeastern city of Jinju became the country's first animal confirmed with COVID-19. The animal belongs to a mother and a daughter who were among dozens of confirmed patients associated with the Jinju religious facility. Though cases are rare, the CDC says on the website that human-to-animal transmission of the virus can occur. Still, it is recommended that people who are suspected or confirmed to be infected with COVID-19 avoid close contact with their pets and have another member of their household care for them. And that comes from the World Organization of Animal Health. So if you get COVID, try not to to give any kisses to your puppy.
Yeah, we're talking to you, Travis. Watch out for Emerald, okay?
I will. I'll keep an eye on him.
Critical. He's our he's the two dork dog. He's the official two dork dog. So there. You have to keep him safe.
All right. I will.
No, but this confirmed human to animal, but is animal to human a confirmed transmission yet? I guess the theory is that we got it from an animal in China anyway.
But that was
because of ingestment though, right? It wasn't just being in the vicinity. I'm not sure.
It's been so long.
It came from a marketplace and they I can't even remember the animal's name, what kind of animal it came from, but
I want to say it was a type of bat.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the initial, I remember that was the initial look. They've gone back, like the CDC and the WHO, they're all over the WHO, not the band, but the World Health Organization. They're all over there. I would like to imagine Pete Townsend just strolling around Wuhan looking for the culprit, you know? Like windmilling
just
on his
smashing
guitar,
guitars into everything.
Having a blast. Yeah. Lucas,
if he's not careful, though, the guitars manufacturers will send out a note on Twitter saying that they need to apologize for smashing guitars.
That was Phoebe Bridgers, right? Who got in trouble for smashing a guitar on Saturday Night Live.
I was more thinking about the whole jewelers thing with Tom Brady and
throwing the trophy.
For throwing the trophy. Yeah, that was pretty amusing to me. But your thing is probably much cooler.
Well, no, I was just shocked that you knew anything about Phoebe Bridgers on Saturday Night Live smashing a Dan Electro guitar and failing at it and everybody making fun of
it. Yeah, she failed at it. It's pretty,
that was
pretty
spectacular. That was the worst part. It was cringy because it just didn't go anywhere.
Could blow her over with a feather.
I know.
And for one thing. And it's rock and roll, man. Stuff happens, whatever. And the company said, good luck breaking it. I guess Dan Electro's sick guitars. They just hold together. I've never been a Dan Electro fan. Not for the sound, but just because they don't look very appealing to me. But, you know, you can do what you want to do with them. They're great. They're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this isn't how to smash a guitar and stare at goats. This is COVID time.
Yes, that's right. And Kelly brings up pangolins in the chat, by the way.
Pangolins are adorable, pangolins. But apparently, those things, people eat those. That's like, you guys ever seen The Protector? The movie The Protector?
Yes.
Flipping awesome. But that was all about people eating pangolins and elephants and rhinos and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. we talked about the weather in Texas, but there was a Texas doctor defending the stealing of COVID-19 vaccine doses for his friends and family. A Houston doctor who was accused of stealing COVID-19 vaccines defended giving them to friends and family, saying he was doing what his heart told him was the right thing. Dr. Hassan Gokhale claimed that the 10 Moderna vaccine doses at the vaccination site in Humble, Texas, would have gone unused if he hadn't taken them home on December 29th. In the event you get left over with any vaccine, don't waste any, Gokhale told the station. Gokhale said that it had been the first day that Harris County site had been open and health officials hadn't given him any guidance on what to do with leftover vaccines. With only 6 hours until the shots would expire, he started going through his phone to reach out to people he knew were eligible for the vaccine. He said he was able to find 10 people who qualified for the shot, but then at the last minute, one of the people canceled on him. Gokhale said he was with minutes to spare, he gave the final shot to his wife, who would have been eligible under the next tier for the vaccine. He said he submitted the paperwork the next day, but was fired the following week in what he thought was a misunderstanding about why he took the vaccines off site. Harris County District Attorney Kim Ogg later announced charges against him for stealing 9 vaccines, but a judge dismissed the case. Gokhale still maintains he didn't do anything wrong. My background is emergency medicine, he said. You do what you have to save a life, no matter what.
What's your thoughts, Travis?
I don't know enough about the situation. That's a rough spot to be in, because if they are going to expire, You don't want that to go to waste. You are, if he is, you know, an ER doctor, like he's saying, the first thought is, okay, I've got this thing. It's going to expire. I got to use it. Man, I don't know. That's a tough one, because should he have taken them off site? Probably not. But it sounds like he, if he came back the next day and filled out paperwork for everything, then he's trying to do it on the level. He didn't try to hide it. Mm-hmm. He didn't sneak them out and then deny that he did it. He's just saying, yeah, I did it. I did it because they were going to expire. Here's all the paperwork for it too. I didn't want them to go to waste. And these people were eligible. They were in the tier except for one person. So it's hard for me to really harp on that. Because you want to try and do the most good for the most people. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to really get on Dr. Gokhale's case about 10 vaccine doses.
Yeah.
This is a tough one though, because this all of a sudden raises some questions about, well, do you go through the Department of Health and Human Services for Texas? Do you alert them to say, we've got 6 hours and 10 doses? Should I do this unilaterally, or should somebody else come in and do it? I mean, what does that procedure look like, especially on day one? I'm sure they've got that procedure defined now, because if they don't, they're idiots. But I'm 100% positive they've probably put some kind of guardrails around this kind of case now that it's happened. But to hold somebody accountable, especially somebody who is trying to do the right thing, didn't try to hide it, found the people to give the vaccine to, distributed the vaccine on his own time. This is not this is not like he was getting paid to do this. He was making sure that his community was kept safe. I feel like to fire him and to even press charges and have the district attorney brought involved, that just seems a little ridiculous. I know the judge dismissed the case, but that's a judge dismissing the case. That's not a district attorney looking at the case going, this is dumb, guys. Why are we doing this? This is a district attorney actually trying to prosecute this case. So I feel like this has a lot of strange, weird twists that we could chat about, and all of which are real tough to think about.
Yeah, and the way the article is written, too, if we're taking it all at face value and everything in the article is what we know, I don't really see where we could blame the guy. Because, what August is saying is or what Adam's put here is they should have a waiting room at every location with vaccine where people that are eligible can wait if there's something that comes free. But that wasn't the case. To me, it seems like it's the 11th hour. He's either in a closed clinic or somewhere where it can't happen. Like, how do you get the word out? This seems like one of those Good Samaritan issues where he's like, it was the best thing I could think to do at the time to keep vaccine from going to waste and give it to somebody. I
mean, we talked about the Hippocratic Oath just a minute ago. We talked about how it's the responsibility of doctors to make sure that they do the right thing. And we've got a group of people in the UK doing douchebaggery, and they're allowed to do it. And then you've got a guy who's saving people's lives, and he gets fired for doing it. I mean, it's an upside down world right now. I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, if he had snuck out or tried to hide it and deny it and all this kind of stuff, then sure, there's going to be consequences for what he did. But he didn't. It's not like he didn't say the next day, hey, look, there were 10 left over and I gave them to some people. Right. Yeah. I called around and I got them taken care of. They didn't expire. What's the paperwork I got to fill out for that type of thing? So,
well, that's why. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, that's why it's hard for me to really harp on him. Because he was trying to do the right thing.
I mean, that's all.
Do you think it has something to do with his wife?
That was about to say that the wife bit is the only red flag that I see in this.
Yeah, I'm sure that played into it quite a bit. But at the same time, it's like, all right, you're given here's 10 doses of the vaccine, and you've got 3 hours before they expire. Who are you calling?
Yeah.
You know, who are you getting a hold of? You're getting a hold of the people you're going to start with who you know. You got to, the way the article is written is he had 10 people. Somebody had to cancel on him. So he's like, well, all right, honey, here you go. And, you know, that's fine.
This is a jacked up Brewster's Millions. You know, this is Brewster's Millions. Here's $1 million. Spend it all. and don't have any assets, you know, this is a doctor going, I got to spend it all, but I can't have, like, can't give it to anybody I know. Ah, like, what's he supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he didn't have John Candy with him to try to help him. You know,
John Candy would have made the right decision.
Yeah, of course. Of course, because he was an angel put on earth to make us smile and help us make good decisions. But yeah, I feel for the guy. You guys know we've talked about this before, but I'm optimistic and I have a soft spot for people. I always try to assume positive intent, and I think that's the reason the guy got off from the judge. Is he was the judge sees it and goes, this is obviously a valid use, but it's not going to save his career. You know,
no, he's going to be raked across the coals.
Yeah, he's done. But
he's going to be the guy that stole the vaccine and gave it to his buddies. That's what he's going to be labeled as. And
that's the
story. I'm not sure that he deserves that.
No,
he doesn't. Agree with
that. Yeah, that's the story.
That at all.
Speaking of stories, we got to reevaluate our entire lives here, you guys. We got to rethink everything that we know. Jacob, I'm going to let you lead this in, as you seem to have given it the most thought.
So, we're the last couple of weeks, we're coming down from our Christmas high. And I'm not saying that in a good way. I'm saying that, you know, we saw a peak of hospitalizations. We saw a peak of transmission rates. We saw a peak of death rates all across the country. And we're coming down from that now. And there are two states that have had polar opposite responses. You've had Florida, who's just been balls to the wall wide open. And you've had California, who's been strict locked down. I mean, locked down. And they're the polar opposites. But yet, if you look at the peaks, if you look at the drops, if you look at the transmission rates, if you look at everything that's happened, they're on a very similar trajectory. They're on a very similar path. These numbers are kind of aligning a little bit. And I'm looking at this going, these are two places that have taken completely opposite tacks and approaches toward this virus. And we're seeing some of the same transmission rates, the same hospitalization rates, the same trends. And so it makes me go, okay, should we reevaluate where we're at relative to our thinking to reopening? And I don't have a great answer for this. This is really just a kind of a discussion topic, but I mean, you've got Florida who's doing all the things and they're seeing the same drop in transmission rate that Californians are seeing. And why is that, guys? I'd love to pick your brain a little bit.
I want to believe, and I think that this makes sense to me anyway, that people who are going to move around are going to move around. Mm-hmm. Whether you lock them down or you don't lock them down, there's just going to go. Figure out what they can do, and they're going to do it, whether masks or no masks or whatever. But people like us who are not moving around, who've decided that the juice is not worth the squeeze, have stayed at home, we're not going to get COVID. Our numbers are not going to go up. They're not going to go down because we're not doing anything in that risky vein. The most risky thing we do is go to the grocery store with an N95 on your face. That's about it. That's as risky as it gets. And I think that's part of it. I think when you look at Florida and you look at California and look at lockdown and no lockdown, it's just that, I mean, I look at my parents, like they go to work. That's what they have to do, with very strict rules. And then they go home. That's their life. Work home, work home, work home. My dad goes hunting with his buddies who he knows are okay. That's the best situation from a Florida standpoint, too. So I really think that there's people who are going to go to the bars. They're going to go to the bars. Even if the bars are closed at 9 or whatever BS number they use. Like, they're going to go until it's time to go home.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I feel about it.
I don't know what the answer would be there at all, because Florida and California are two very different kind of worlds anyway. And, you know, how much of this is because of like population density versus, and we talked a little bit about that before the show, population density versus kind of how much people are moving around. you know, who knows? I don't know.
Well, I guess the bigger question that arises from this then is, do states bother locking down? If it doesn't make significant difference in community of the disease getting around in these communities, then why are we locking down in the first place? I mean, we could sit and yell about North Carolina didn't lock down enough or lock down too much, but if it doesn't affect the numbers because people who are going to stay home, people who don't, then what are we doing? Is it possible that our economy stays up or go, you know, is it possible these businesses don't go out of business because people are still going? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Even if it was open, I wouldn't go to the Salem Street pub right now because I'm not going to. And I think,
but you and I have a different level of thinking here,
sure,
right?
We're, and
maybe that is, there's a lot more to that than we're giving credit to.
Sure.
I mean, maybe it is truly a look, people are going to go do whatever they want to do. And if you're of the mindset that you're 10 feet tall and bulletproof, then yeah, you're not going to really care what happens. You're not going to think it's going to affect you. If you think that it's going to affect you and your family and you take maximum precautions, then you're not going to be the ones that are on that list that are transmitting, right? So maybe it does have something to do more with the beliefs of people within a given area about how COVID is transmitted and what precautions now they are willing to take. Are they wearing masks? Are they not wearing masks? Are they getting together for social gatherings? Are they going to the bars? Are they going and seeing grandma for Christmas? Or are they letting grandma spend Christmas by herself because they're afraid that it's too risky, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's more of a how many people in this given area have that mentality of safety as opposed to 6 feet tall and bulletproof. I don't have another way of describing that.
Yeah. It's coming down to whether as individuals are willing to stay home in as part of your state. Less about the government rules, but more about the population and the general vibe amongst that population. Like you come Wake County, North Carolina is a red state, and I hate that it splits that way, but it seems to split that way. Is that there's the people that don't believe that you need to stay home and freedom and all that, and people who are like, I stay home. But in this area, we don't really have the level of people. Most people are staying home. Like everybody I've talked to that works downtown is like, heck yeah, I'm not going anywhere. Are you crazy? But you go out 30 minutes, people are like, I do what I want. I'm going where I want. Open the bar. I got to go.
Yeah,
it's a weird situation, but it's just different places.
Travis, you were gonna jump in there.
Oh, huh? I was gonna ask about how those numbers were relative to the population, because I know California's population is considerably larger than Florida's.
Yeah.
But I was looking at the article and it looks like they said based on kind of population amounts that the rate at which they were seeing cases was similar, relative to population, not just the trend. Cause the trend would be one thing if the cases are going down, but if it's relative to population, the lockdown state is less or more. But it sounds like they kind of tried to normalize it for that. So
yeah, they normalized it per million people. So yeah, they took into account population, but not necessarily population density.
Yeah.
So it's and the chat was bringing up some great points. The more places are open, the more workers who don't have a choice but to go out and work risk exposure. So that's 100% valid there. Yeah, it's just more curiosity for me and. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, it's a question worth asking.
How about this? I would much rather reevaluate our perspectives rather than say that we did everything right and our mentality was 100% right. I would much rather somebody go, here's some data to say that we were wrong, because I could consume that and understand that and try to learn from that. What I can't do is just have people tell me, you're wrong, get the hell out of here, here's no evidence as to why you're wrong. That all of a sudden is a different discussion, right?
Well, yeah. Jacob, this reasonable approach you're taking has no place on the internet, and you know that. The willingness to take in more data and potentially change the answer. What? Mm. No. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that.
Well, and if from what I've seen, if you're a part of a any party and you decide something doesn't align, your views don't align with that party, you're ostracized. So
seems that way.
Heaven forbid you have a dissenting voice or a dissenting opinion. Don't do that, guys. That I've learned that's bad in the last 6 months.
Well, to avoid getting any deeper down that deep, dark pit of despair, Jacob, you do have one thing you've been hiding from us.
What's that?
That'd be that you took a visit to the old doctor there.
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
Where haven't even mentioned that once.
Jacob, I didn't.
It's a boy in Jacob's body right now, growing. Yep. No, I don't know. It's a beer baby at best.
No, on Saturday, I was able to get my first jab. I got the Pfizer vaccine on Saturday. And the clinic that I went to was unbelievably well run. It was unbelievably well orchestrated. I never even got out of my car. They had everything well thought out. They had, you drove up and they segregated people into different positions because they had three or four different clinics around one of the sporting arenas, parking lots. They had tents set up, remote tents. And so then you got in line based on where you were. And they had parking staff that in the middle of freezing down, pouring rain, that directed traffic and directed you where to go. And you got up to the tent and the nurse came out and talked to you for a few minutes and explained everything to you. And you opened your car door, they jabbed you in the arm, and they wrote times down on pieces of paper and put them on your dashboard. And then you drove into an observation lot. You had people come by and talk to you and check on you and tell you all the things that you need to hear about any kind of side effects or what to do if there's an emergency. And then they came by and scheduled your next visit, and 20 minutes later you were gone. I mean, it really was it was probably the most well orchestrated type of event that I've seen like this. And I was shocked at how well it went, at how well they pulled it off.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. So, it was interesting how I got my appointment. So, my employer actually signed us up, for the vaccine. They sent out an email saying, do you want it? And we're going to put you on the list if you do want it. And they put me on the list. And that afternoon I got a phone call, an email, and a text message, all saying, please sign up here. So I clicked the link and signed up, and there it was.
They want you to miss it. Three different modes of communication.
I felt like it was from The Office. If anybody knows The Office, there's it's Ryan that creates a company called woof.com where they send you a notification to your pager, your fax machine, an email, a text, a phone call, and they send you everything all at once. And so whenever you get a woof, everything blows up around you. And I feel like that's what happened whenever I got this notification. It was a
did
wolf.
did you feel any side effects from it? Did you get lethargic? Not at like all. They said nothing the first shot. Good.
No, I mean, the next day I was a little tired, but I don't know if it was due to all of the stuff going on in my life or if it was due to the vaccine. But overall, I feel like it was good. I didn't noticeably have any issues.
That's good news. Good. That's my mom's her same thing. She's like, I was tired the next day, but I don't know if it was because of this other reason that I was tired or if I was just tired. Right. Yeah. So I mean, that's good news. That's great. If you had no noticeable side effects, that's fantastic. So I'm real disappointed though that you didn't steal any of the vaccines for me. I thought we had worked this out. We had Ocean's 11, the whole thing. You had a plan. Yeah. And you just failed to execute. And I'm
well. The lady who came up and talked to me and was going to jab me in the arm, she was way too sweet, and so there was no way I could do that to her. You wanted me to do. I was gonna hoodwink them, but she was. I couldn't do it, man. I got up there and I was like, I can't go through with this plan.
We had practiced all that seduction stuff to make sure you had your game on.
Weeks in the making, and it just we wasted all that time, Steven. I can't believe we did that.
Was it really wasted though?
It really wasn't.
I was happy to play the female nurse so Jacob could practice his Mac on me. And that was fine. It's good memories, one way or the other. So, thanks.
Blinded by the boob. I got to tell you, on Saturday, it was below freezing. It was raining. And it was, I do not envy those folks that were standing outside in under a tent, just one after another, just giving vaccines from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. It was, talk about it, absolutely brutal day. And they were all volunteers.
Oh, wow.
Every one of them. So I really want to try to figure out how to do something special for that crew, because they deserve something just unbelievable in their life to happen. Cause to go through that just for their own passion for doing it is, they deserve all the high fives in the world. They're the heroes that we need.
Swing through a couple dozen duck donuts on the next time you go get stuck.
I really should.
Grab a couple duck donuts, take them with you. Be like, I don't even know if you could eat these from a stranger, but thank you. You know, that seems to be the thing to do. We've done that before. Lando gave a coffee and a donut to a police officer that pulled him over once. We were driving to work. We had to go through a checkpoint. And he's like, hey, you pulled me over yesterday. Just want to say sorry about that. Brought you coffee and a donut. Like, you're so weird, but that's also so cool. And they struck up a relationship after that. Like, well done. Well done.
That makes sense.
Yep. You're a good man, Lando. Anyway, thank you guys for being with us tonight on Staring at Goats. This has been a good episode. It's dense. We got a lot of really good info out of this and some discussion. I would love to know people's thoughts on the close or don't close government regulation stuff. If you have any thoughts at all, one of the easiest way to share your thoughts with us with a voicemail. So you can call us at 231-486-5401. That's 231-486-5401, and leave us that voicemail so we can play it on the show.
Yeah, and in fact, we have our first voicemail.
Are you serious? Holy butt.
We have our first voicemail. I told you, I got you guys, I had something fun for you. So here we go. I got it all queued up. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
I'm ready.
First voicemail. We're going to play it live on the air. Here we go.
Yep.
Hey, yes, this here's for that Staring at Goats podcast y'all do. This is for Tater D-Wave. Hey, boys, it's your cousin Yule, remember?
Yule!
Your third cousin on your mama's daddy's sister's second husband's side, twice removed. That's not here either. Hey, let me ask you this. Why is this dang vaccine thing two shots? Why do I need to do this twice? That's just ridiculous. Ain't we got time? I'm giving too many one shot, or better yet, can you just give it to me and let me put a couple drops in every Bud Light I drink, and then I'll knock it out in like a week. That'll be fine, right? Right? We can do that, right?
Genius.
Okay. Love you, boys. Talk to you later at the next family reunion, whenever that is.
That boy, he got more sense.
We got a cousin that's genius.
That boy done figured it out. Drip a little bit, take that syringe, and just drip it down there in the Bud Light. I mean,
and just suck it down.
Suck it down.
Yeah. And I do have an answer for the two in one. If it's worth doing once, it's definitely worth doing twice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, just talking to Tiffany. I mean, D-Wade over there. Me, you know what I'm talking about.
She told me. Yeah. She said at least worth doing one time. I said, all right. That's good by me. Yeah, man. One time's good.
Bud Light, I got to tell you, man, they figured it out. Holy moly. I can't believe our cousin figured it out. And who is it? I can't remember who this cousin is. I wish I could remember.
Cousin Jewel.
But I don't.
Is that what he said his name was? I don't remember.
I think it was
Jewel. Yeah, it was cousin Yule.
Yule.
Yule. Oh, Yule. It was Yule.
Yeah, he can't tell his voice right on the microphone.
Last time I saw him was at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. We went to the Holy Grail we went to Mecca. That's where we went last time we saw him. We were drinking Bud Light on Quan Turn 3 all weekend long. Oh, my goodness. I remember that. Now I understand why. He's so smart.
Daggone, I remember that night. I was supposed to go with you, and they threw me in the drunk tank. I had gotten into trouble running my mouth. That ain't no surprise, though.
Yeah, that's true. And I remember having to go out the next day and pick you up from the drunk tank. And they actually threw me into the drunk tank because I was still drunk from the night before.
That's right. You drove over to jail. You were drunk as a skunk, baby. Threw you in there. You smelled like Jim Beam.
I did. And then we spent the next 4 days in the drunk tank. And by the end of it, we were sober as sober could be.
I mean, heck, Tater, at least we didn't have to pay for that daggone hotel 4 days. You imagine?
Yeah, that's true.
I tell you.
We got three hots and a cot for four straight days for free, guys. For free.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, D-Way, did you tell them your new business strategy? I saw your business truck this afternoon.
I got a secret. I done found me about as many of them tractor tires and regular old truck tires and wagon tires I can find. Shoved about 400 of them on the back of my Ford pickup.
That's right.
Now, and I drove it home, and I got it in my backyard, and I'm thinking on maybe finding a way to light a fire during to keep me winter warm, you know, get some smoke going and stay warm for a little while. Tires burn forever. I mean, they just burn. Well, I don't need wood. I mean, I seen it. Just put them on there, set them on fire. I sell them like firewood. I say, hey, I got these new rubber logs.
Rubber logs. There it
you
is.
You try to rubber logs. That's just rubber, R-U-B-B-A, log, L-A, how you spell it?
L-A-W-G.
L-A-W-G. You always could spell better.
I know. I'm smarter than you are, Dwayne. And that's what every one of the teachers said when we were going up through grade school.
You ain't wrong. We're going to be here all night. Y'all, Yule done triggered us. That's all I know. It ain't hard, really.
No, it isn't. You throw. It doesn't need to be a grenade. I was going to say, throw a grenade at us and we'll just go on forever. It really doesn't.
Throw a sausage just throw patty. An old, whatever.
Not even that. I was thinking about throwing just an old chicken bone at us. we're going to take it and run with it.
Doesn't take
much. There you go.
Doesn't take much. Oh, man. Sorry, everybody. Hey, man, but this was good. Thank you for the voicemail, Yule. We appreciate it. Hopefully, we answered your question. We'll take it. If you like the show, if you like what we do here, go ahead and leave us a review on your favorite podcasting service. Follow us on Twitter at @staring_goats. You can send us 240-character messages to say thank you for doing the show. What are you guys doing? How does COVID work? All those things. You can also support us at Patreon, patreon.com/2dorks. You can join our patrons, Hammer Dwarf, Jesse, Og, Adam, Christina of Geekheim, Oddly Normal One, and our parents in supporting the show. Also, if you show up live, you can throw us bits like Kelly Lynn Colby just did with 150 bits. Bits are like pennies. They're Twitch pennies, but they pay us in real cash money, and we appreciate that for sure. It's an excellent way to tip. Also, tip us if you want to. You can do it the old-fashioned way, twodorks.net/tip. You can just give us a one-time donation thingy. Anyway, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time on Staring at Goats.
Man.